listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 194, Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. Does the Grinch need a job? Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties, because it's time to dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast. My name is Chelsea Robson, and normally I have a co-host with Morgan Stradling, but she is unable to make it today. So today I am very excited because I have two very special guests. First off, if you've been listening to the podcast for any amount of time, you may have heard Rachel Wagner is here.
Hey, Rachel. How's it going? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Man, we're excited. And then also, we are inviting some of our Diamond patrons on. We have Alex Beavis. Say hello, Alex.
Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is exciting. So I want to get to know Alex a little bit better. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been a Disney animation fan all my life, former Walt Disney World cast member, and currently right now I'm a mental health worker here in Vancouver, BC, so just kind of enjoying the pandemic as we all are. Love all things kind of animation-wise.
Nice. Well, glad to have you, Alex.
Glad to be.
So the Animation Addicts Podcast, as you heard, we talk about animated movies, and today we have Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. It was made in 2018, and we are going to just jump right into that. But first, to find out a little bit more about our newest addition to the podcast today, we are going to play Catch and Fire. Alex, are you excited about this?
I am very excited.
For anybody that is brand new, Catch and Fire is a segment that we find out and we ask the hardest questions in the animation industry. It's a rapid fire asking of questions. So I ask a quick question, Alex will respond as quickly as he can, and then we will just roll down and find out all of the most important things about him that every animation addict would need to know. All right, Alex, are you ready?
I am ready.
Well then, how about a quick round of catch and fire?
Catch and fire? You mean me?
You're the only one with enough courage.
What was the very first animated movie you remember seeing?
Fantasia.
What is your favorite cartoon growing up?
Darkwing Duck.
Favorite animator or artist?
Andreas Deja.
Classic animation or CGI?
Classic.
Disney or Pixar?
Disney by far.
Laika or Studio Ghibli?
Studio Ghibli.
What is your favorite animation studio?
Disney.
All right. Songs or no songs?
Gotta be songs. Makes the movie that much better.
It does, doesn't it? All right. Are we going for heroes or villains?
Villains.
Stitch or Tinkerbell?
Tinkerbell.
What is your favorite animated dog?
Bolt.
Tiana or Mulan?
Gotta go with Tiana on that one.
Snow White or Sleeping Beauty?
Snow White.
Rasputin or Dr. Facilier?
Dr. Facilier, just because I like how he's animated a lot more.
All right. All right, and this is the final and most important question of all. Alex, which would you rather watch? Mulan 2 or The Return of Jafar?
I'm going to have to say Return of Jafar because Mulan 2 is not the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Are either of them?
No, that's true. But at least Return of Jafar has the Aladdin TV series behind it. So it's,
there you go. Yeah.
Oh, 52
out of 52. Well done.
Congratulations, Alex. You have made it through Catch and Fire.
I'm so proud.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right, let's jump on in here.
You're a mean one. You really are a hero. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an ear. Mr. Grinch, you're a bad banana. With the greasy black peel, your bow. You got termites in your smile.
So first off, we are going to be going high information here as we discuss Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. And this information came from Box Office Mojo, IMDb, and Wikipedia, and any bonus material that we have looked at. So the studio is Illumination Entertainment. The directors were Yarrow Cheney and Scott Mosier. Release date was November 9th, 2018, and is also known as How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It was budgeted at an estimated $75 million, and overall worldwide gross is about $511 million. So not a bad chunk of change. Five times your budget. That's great. Running time is 85 minutes. So it was definitely not as long as a lot of them could be. And I appreciated that.
True.
This one had a lot of padding with it, though, too.
That is a problem you had with it?
I just thought there was a lot of stuff that was, like, added to make it longer. Like, mm-hmm. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I can get that.
I mean, the Illumination, it cannot be denied that they know how to make profitable films. It's unbelievable. They keep the budgets down, and so even ones that are seen as maybe not as successful, like The Secret Life of Pets 2, if you really look at the figures, that thing still made a lot of money. And so they almost make their movies flop. Flop proof.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is totally true. And their character design is pretty, it's really consistent to the point that it feels like a movie that people will want to take their kids to, and very appealing as far as design goes. So I think that might be a reason why they have done really well.
Yeah, well, and they add a lot of humor to their films, and they are really good at marketing their films. And so I wish that they would challenge themselves a little bit. I feel like somebody like Blue Sky, aside from maybe the Ice Age films, I think for the most part, they try to challenge themselves a little bit more. with their films. And so I appreciate that. And I wish that Illumination would have their version of the Peanuts movie, like one movie that they really try and push themselves. You know, Sony had it with Spider-Verse. I just feel like every studio has had their one where they really were going to make an art film. We're going to really push ourselves. But Illumination just never has. They're kind of happy to be I kind of call them the McDonald's of animation. And that's fine. It has its place. But I know it would be nice if they pushed their, just for the animator's sake, it would be nice if they pushed them a little bit, I feel like, because they definitely have the talent to do it. And so, I don't know. Why not? Give us one more ambitious film would be nice, I think.
Yeah, I can see how you're saying that. I watched one, well, recently. The last movie that we reviewed on here was Klaus. And that was part of the discussion that we talked about, how it just really pushed the envelope as far as what we can expect from modern day animation, especially since it was 2D. So I can definitely see that. I also can appreciate the business side of me is like, well, let's just make sure that we can continue to do business and make sure, like, if we've got something that works, you know, let's kind of continue it until we can push something a little more, or at least have the budget to do that.
And it'll be interesting to see what they do, because I think that there may be, we'll see how Minions 2 does next year, but I feel like maybe they're reaching the end of the that they can do with Minions. Who knows?
Oh, they'll push that.
And I don't know, but we'll see how that one does. But I think Secret Life of Pets didn't do as well as they wanted. So maybe now they're kind of at a reboot sort of stage where maybe they might have to do, but we're going to have a Sing 2. So oh, that does, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the next couple. They have their Mario Brothers movie coming out, I think 2022, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so hopefully they might, we'll see what they do in the future, but yeah, and there cannot be denied that they know how to make money. That they should teach it lectures, because they do so good. They know how to make profitable films, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah, for sure.
But after the kind of year that we've had, that's kind of what all studios should be kind of focusing on right now, right? Like, is the safe bet.
Yep.
Because they knew that Grinch was going to make oodles and oodles of money, especially releasing it at Christmas time. Like, so I think it's smart on their part. And like you said, the animation is great. Like, the character designs are really good. Like, you see the more kind of lovable Grinch in this one, as opposed to the Jim Carrey version and the Dr. Seuss or the Chuck Jones version. So you could tell that they were kind of going for a more lovable Grinch than in previous versions.
They were. The Grinch was a very different Grinch than what we have seen, say, for example. I mean, you really can't compare anything to Jim Carrey in the 2000 version, and then in the original version that was only like 25 minutes long back, that one, you just didn't have enough time or energy to really develop him as a character. He was just very, this is who he is, and this is who he became. It doesn't matter his backstory, just here. So I don't know how I liked how they made Grinch in this one. I'm still up in the air, but there are things that I did appreciate about it.
I like the relationship between the Grinch and Max, the dog. That was clearly from the get-go what they were going for, is making that friendship relationship, saying that the two of them had each other at least. And you can see throughout the movie, especially as the scene, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but when they were getting rid of Fred the reindeer, the Grinch says, well, at least we have each other. I thought that was you could tell that they were kind of going towards developing the relationship between Max and the Grinch.
Well, yeah. The thing is, though, for this movie, I feel like because they wanted to expand his character, they changed kind of the overall message of the film, where in the original, and then in the book, the message is that the Whos in Whoville celebrated Christmas without any presence at all, right? They sang without any presence. Where I felt like the message of this movie was loneliness is bad, and makes you sad, and we need to not be lonely. That was the message, which to me is not as good.
Yeah, they were trying to make the Grinch a sympathetic character as opposed to the Grinch, per se.
Yeah, because the protagonists really in the original are the Whos in Whoville, and then his heart is melted, and it's kind of a similar, it's basically like an animated Scrooge kind of story, basically. So I don't know. I just don't think that that's quite as compelling as especially as like a true Christmas message, where in the original, it's all about they celebrated Christmas without any presents at all. And in this, it's, see, the Grinch isn't lonely anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they almost telegraph it though too, by like, cause you can see throughout the movie that he cares for Max. It's not like that, where he's a total Grinch, where he has no friends at all. Cause he like, gives Max appreciation, and the appreciation that Max gives the Grinch, like, I want a dog like that. That'll make me sleep every morning.
Yeah. I feel like the big jokes were all kind of sort of top heavy, that most of the jokes were in that kind of introductory section, and the big iconic song, which is so funny in the short, at least in my opinion. I felt like that was kind of not used for as much comedic effect as they could have.
You mean the theme song?
Yeah. You know, you Nuzzy.
I agree with that.
Mr. Grinch.
Yeah.
That could have been funnier.
The music was very interesting to me because, first off, there were over 24 different music cuts, which I feel like is a lot of music when you add like a full score on top of it. So I just felt like that was a lot, but not that it was bad. I felt like it did add, like there were a lot of areas where I felt like this does add to the, for example, when he's playing the organ and he's like, he starts playing All by Myself and just playing that on the organ. And I, you know, there's a lot of things that I was like, okay, I get, like, you're doing a good job at bringing in these things. It just felt, I don't know if I would have put that much music in this if I were doing it myself. But
I did kind of like the carolers, though. So you got these little bits of sort of traditional carols that you don't always see in children's films, which was kind of nice. These little sort of bursts of our traditional Christmas carols. That was fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Christian, and so I find that there's very few movies nowadays, Christmas movies specifically, that will actually play Christmas songs, like religious based songs. And the fact that they even had two in there, I was like, whoa. They had Come You Merry Gentlemen and also Silent Night. And it's like, I don't feel like I should be like surprised that they do Silent Night, because it's literally the oldest and most well-known Christmas song, I think, of them all, but especially as carolers. But I was still surprised. Interestingly enough, it was Pentatonix that was doing all of the carolers. They were uncredited. So I was like, good for them.
Ooh, I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I liked that too. It was nice that they had those traditional carols. That was fun.
So one thing that I do, I mean, as you're looking at these iterations of the Grinch's story, Dr. Seuss's story of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, like, you look at the original, I think the good thing about the original being so short is that you are able to add all of these, you have artistic license to create more of a story. And so you look at the 2000 version, and while there are a lot of moments in the 2000 version with Jim Carrey that I really liked and appreciated, there was also parts where I was like I didn't really like the shaving part, or the fact that he was made fun of by this small group of kids. And so I did like how in this version, they left it as he just was alone, and therefore, like, it was nobody really, it's his their fault. It was just like how he grew up. So I did appreciate that, but I do agree with you the fact that it was like, not as compelling as maybe another reason other than don't be alone.
Yeah, and the Jim Carrey one, I think in one way I admire it because it is so, it's trying like so hard to do something different and there's a lot of creativity there. But on the other hand, I really don't need to know the tragic backstory of the Grinch. I really don't. And there's like a lot of really uncomfortable adult humor in the movie. I think it was a lot of it was probably Jim Carrey ad-libbing, to be honest. Right. But especially with the Christine Baranski character, I don't, that's so weird. And, also, I feel like the whole thing, I wanted to like wipe the screen because it just feels dirty. I feel the cinematography is really a strange color palette in the lighting and everything. I mean, at least in this one, it might not be as creative. It's a little more bland to me than the Jim Carrey, but I do appreciate that it's bright and colorful.
Yeah.
I felt this one was more kind of Looney Tunes versus the Jim Carrey was more kind of, we got to give something for the parents to enjoy while we're watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of felt a little more Nightmare Before Christmas type side, just a little edgier. This one definitely was more of a kid's film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So one of my favorite parts, as far as if you're looking at the different characters that they brought in, how did you like how they did Cindy Lou Who?
I thought the character was really good. I would have liked if they have withheld the Christmas letter thing to the end. I thought they gave that away way too early.
That's true.
Like, I thought it would have been more impactful if the Grinch would have thought that she's after presents and stuff like that. And then at the end, you realize she's doing it for her mother. But the fact that they kind of pulled the trigger way too early, I just thought that kind of lessened the impact of it.
Well, I was a little confused by her mother character because they set it up. I thought, are her and the Grinch getting together at the end? Because they set him up as being super lonely and they set Donna up as being super lonely. And that's the big kind of message, is that her mother is lonely. And I kind of thought that was where they were going. I was a little bit confused about that storyline, what was going on there.
How he comes in and he's helping with everything and setting the table and, oh, okay.
Her new daddy, he like...
because it feels like if she's not getting together with the Grinch, then there's no like happy ending to her story, to Donna's story.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just alone. Kind of like, well, another day.
I guess. Yeah. You got to have a happy ending in a Christmas movie. So that was a little weird to me, but it was fine. She's fine. Cindy Lou. She's pretty cute.
It's kind of, their proportions for her were really off. Like in terms, like her design was okay, but like her carrying the hockey stick, I was like, there's no way, like, how's she gonna like do anything with that hockey stick? It's like three times the size of her. Like,
well, she's Cindy Lou Who, a little. She's supposed to be little, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's the whole letter writing thing was interesting.
I wish they would have done more with her friends. Like, I felt like that scene was, it was the. When the Grinch goes and he's trying to get all of the reindeer, I kind of felt like my interest waned and during that little sequence. And then right after that, it goes right into the friends and all of them on their bikes and everything. And then I was back and I was like, oh, what's going on here? And I feel like they should have done more with them because I liked their individual personalities and how they kind of like work together. Like the kid who was like, my mom set the timer, like, dude, timer, it's new. It was just like, it was funny. Like they should have kind of added more onto that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there wasn't like a real, it was just kind of like, I guess, a flash in a little story of the town. And there wasn't that sense of like, of everything kind of coming together at the end with this big musical town gathering together kind of moment like you get in this short. It was more just about the Grinch and him not being lonely, as opposed to like this town, whole town thing.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to draw parallels between her and the Grinch. That's why they were almost showing them side by side, but it didn't unfortunately come off as effectively as I'm sure they wanted it to. Because I think they were trying to just say that, like, her and Cindy Lou and the Grinch are the same person. But it, I don't think it came off as effectively as they wanted it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely didn't.
And then the mom thing was kind of weird with the, like, you're trying to build her up as a sympathetic character in the beginning, and then it kind of got dropped. Like,
Yeah, they didn't do anything with her. And I'm not sure what I would have wanted them to do with her, but the fact that it was a, you know, it was the daughter's, Cindy Lou Who's, like, her whole desire, her whole Christmas wish is for her mom, but nothing really happens with her mom. So nothing really feels finished in either court.
Yeah, that's why I guess maybe I just finished it myself. I was like, oh, she must be getting together with the Grinch.
Well, that's the thing, right, too, is it's not really clear what the wish is. Like, it's nice for my mom. Okay, like, do you want your mom to have a guy? Do you want your mom to get a nice Christmas present? Do you want a nanny? Like, it's just not clear what the nice thing for the mom she wants. Like,
do you need do you need a helper? Does the Grinch need a job?
What did you guys think of Benedict Cumberbatch's vocal performance? Because it's kind of strange. He has this weird voice. And I felt like, why did they even get Benedict Cumberbatch? I mean, I get it. He's famous, so they can have him on the poster or whatever. But you would think that if they go to the trouble to get Benedict Cumberbatch, they would just have him talk like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Apparently, it was his idea to talk like that. They wanted him to talk normally. And he's like, well, everyone else is American and I'm British. So, like, it doesn't make any sense. So he was the idea that came with, like, talking like that cartoony character. And I think the reason is he was coming off of Doctor Strange. So, like, a really big name.
Maybe he just overthought it, because he's living above Whoville. They're not in America. So they can have whatever voices they want.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could have, would you really want to have the only British sounding character being the Grinch, though? That really, like,
especially, well, it's like that story that you shared on the podcast about Charlie Sheen, or I think it was Burt Reynolds on Hoot, like, All Dogs Go to Heaven, talking to the dog, and they're like, no, we hired you for you.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, why not just get a voice actor if you're going to have him change his voice? I don't know, it's funny to me.
I think they were definitely looking for the, I think, more of a Sherlock Holmes type of a voice from him, because he does a good, like, his voice for Sherlock Holmes is very it's just very pointed and dry, and this one was a lot more, tried to have a lot more character acting in it. So I think that could have been the thing. But it was, all in all, I was surprised to realize that was Benedict Cumberbatch at the end, when the first time that I watched it. This time watching it, I knew that going in, but the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch is this? Because I really did have a difficult time figuring out that it was him. I just go back to, do we really want the only British character to sound like, to be the Grinch? Like, that looks bad on the UK friends. We're not all
for him to sound more sophisticated than everybody else. Like, it's create more sympathy. Like,
would it do more sympathy, or would it create more of a divide?
I think it could have made him seem a little bit more sinister, depending on how they kind of played it up. Because I don't know, that's sometimes a trope, is the sort of the villain with an accent.
Yeah.
It made him feel more like an outsider. He's the only one who has a different voice. I don't know. It was like, what is this voice? This is so weird. But.
So we had other townsfolk that we kind of get to know. We have the neighbor guy. Who he's the one with the sleigh on his house that he steals, where he also likes to dye his hair chocolate explosion. I appreciated him.
Mr. Bricklebaum.
Yeah, that was his name.
I love the line of his when he gives the Grinch a hug, saying that, like, it's not a hug unless you give it back. Like,
that's right. Oh, like, you're cool, man. And then at the very end, he's like, that's my best friend. That was beautiful.
I would have, like, I know the movie, we like in padding, but I would have loved to see more of the relationship between those two, because the Grinch said that he'd been trying to dodge him for years, like, and that he's been his friend for, like, the whole growing up type thing. I would have loved to kind of, even one scene, seeing that kind of relationship.
Yeah, or even just Mr. Pricklebaum, like, coming back and say, hey, remember that time we did this? You know,
yeah.
You don't have to, like, do a full flashback, just more of, like, create on both sides a connection of, like, I guess that really would show that the Grinch was completely deluded and projecting everything on everyone else. And the guy would be like, oh, okay, whatever. So there comes a point where he goes and he is needing a reindeer, and he ends up getting this reindeer, and he just calls him Fred, which I found to be really cute, because Fred is actually the name that my dad uses when anybody asks the question, who did or who does or who, and he doesn't know the answer, he always just says Fred.
Oh,
Fred,
nice.
And so that just made me laugh. Like, that was Fred. Oh, okay, Fred.
That's like my cousin's grandfather. So on our other side, he's like, when you get to a certain age, you just start calling everybody Joe and Stephanie. You're like, you're right half the time.
Perfect.
That's funny. Yeah, there's Fred. That was something new. It was fun. It was a fun dynamic, and
just felt it was a little out of place. But
yeah, it was a little random, but
yeah. I mean, I liked how it did give him the opportunity. It did give the Grinch the opportunity to recognize that I do have my dog. So as Alex pointed out earlier, so I think it served that purpose. But
like, I love the design on the little kid and the little kid reindeer and the wife thing.
Uh huh.
I thought it was a cute scene, but I just thought it took away from the reveal at the end of the Grinch, because he already had that, like, caring side to him, and it just, like, we all knew it was coming anyways, but, like, it just kind of, I don't know, took away from the end moment a little bit, I thought.
One thing I like about the animated short is that you kind of sympathize with the Grinch, because the Who's down in Whoville are making all of that noise, all the noise, and you have all of those fun machines. Whereas in this case,
he's the one with all the machines.
Yeah, he's the one with all the machines. He's the inventor. They didn't want to make the Who's unlikable at all. He's just sort of mad about his loneliness. He's sad about his loneliness. He blames Christmas for his loneliness. But I think that could have been fun if they had brought in the whatever they're called, like the Stormtroopers and Gazugos and whatever. Thanks. Because I think I would be pretty irritated if I kept getting woken up by all this noise. Mm-hmm. That would, especially if you wake me up. I have such a hard time getting to sleep anyway. So I could see him being kind of grumpy about that.
So I have to be honest. I am a little bit of a Grinch myself, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I really am mostly in the decorations department.
Uh-huh.
Like, I hate putting things up because it's only like a 1 month thing and I'm going to have to take it down. And I'm just like, there's just so much work that I'm putting on myself. Why am I doing this to myself? And like, my dad is 100% a nostalgic person and loves Christmas more than anything. And even today, as I was finishing the movie, he walks in and he's just like, oh, I have to watch the end. And he comes and he sits down. And it's literally the very last scene where the Grinch is about to carve the roast goose or whatever. And he gives his speech. And then after the speech, my dad turns to me and he's just like, still makes me cry. He's like crying. And I'm like, oh, dad. But I am the Grinch in the house because it's like he really wants it up as soon as possible, but also doesn't want to do the putting up. And so he'll end up waiting till the very last minute because I used to be the one that put everything up, but then everybody would, if I ever put it up, then they would take it down and take it down wrong. And that always bothered me. So this whole thing shows me how much of a Grinch I am. But the moment where the Grinch is going around and they're taking down all the lights and everything for them, I'm like, I would actually be really grateful for the Grinch at this moment. If on Christmas Day, or even like the day after Christmas, if they were to like take everything down for me, I'd be like, Grinch, you are the man. Like that should be his business from now on. Day after Christmas, takedown of Christmas. That's
true. I can feel you because it's a lot of work, especially if you're doing it by yourself. And there was one time where these people offered on Facebook to basically you could pay them to put up your tree and decorate your tree. And this was the best service I've ever, and they've never done it again. And I was like, oh, it must not have been profitable, but oh, that was the best. Anybody who wants to put up my, let me know.
Well, that's funny.
It is a lot of work, but I have to say, I don't think there's anything better than coming down my staircase and seeing my tree lit up there in night. And just, I find it so relaxing. I love it.
What about you, Alex? Are you a Grinch or are you pro decorations?
I'd probably be a Grinch because I end up working throughout the holidays because I'm in healthcare. So Christmas Day is usually me going into work. No, I like the decorations. I guess I'm in between the two of you. I like the decorations, but I don't like putting them up. I remember at my parents' house, they just leave the lights up all year round just because they don't want to take them down.
Yeah, some people do that.
Yeah,
I respect that.
Well, this year it's interesting because a lot of people actually put up their trees in like March and April because they were so depressed. And Hallmark plays Christmas movies on Thursdays year round. Thursdays you have a Christmas movie, but in March they started doing these movie marathon weekends because people were just needed some Christmas movies. I mean, come on.
So. It was a dark time.
Yeah.
It was a dark time.
That's right. And of course the ratings this year for Hallmark are really great, which is no big surprise.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I imagine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it's a dark time. 2020 is not our year.
I wonder if they're going to like with the movie theaters, because obviously movies aren't coming out, if they're just going to overload with like Christmas movies. Like I wouldn't be opposed to like seeing like the old classic Rudolph in the like the big screen on the movie theater, like kind of just cheering everyone up with the movie theaters.
I think they're probably going to, because they need the space, and they did so well with nostalgic favorites at Halloween. I mean, Hocus Pocus crushed it at the box office.
I'm sure. That's crazy.
So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see a wide variety of Christmas films, everything from Gremlins to
Would you consider
Rudolph.
Gremlins a Christmas movie?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Oh
yeah. Is it
definitely.
Christmas?
Yeah.
It's been a while since
even
I
has
watched
a,
it. So
a character going down the chimney and there's some presents and snow and yeah, it's definitely qualifies.
I mean, if Die Hard is considered a Christmas movie,
Die Hard is a Christmas movie. No debate on that.
Yeah, it's for sure. There's like Lethal Weapon, Batman Returns. There's lots of movies that you don't think of as Christmas movies, but they are.
That's true. Batman Returns. I'll deal with that. I can get with behind that.
I think it's the fourth Harry Potter movie. Think that has that's fun.
The first Harry Potter, definitely, just because they're like Happy Christmas Harry, Happy Christmas Ron. Therefore Christmas movie.
I'm not too strict in my Christmas movie definitions. Like, welcome everybody to the family. Whatever floats your boat.
That's awesome. All right. So do we have any final talking points on The Grinch? Or, I'm sorry, Dr. Seuss's The Grinch.
Well, Alex, did you choose this movie? Was there a reason why you picked it?
Scheduling. And I did like it. Like, well, I saw it in the theaters and I gave it an okay review. Then I saw it again and I really liked it, actually, the second time. Yeah, so like, as much as I was down on some things, I do overall think it's a really good movie. And it's one of those Christmas things that you can always pop in and definitely watch. Watch for, like, every holiday, Christmas, like, and I think we need more of those as we get older, because some of the things are not aging well.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go fresh on this movie, but I don't think it's like awful. It's fine. It's it's like right in the middle.
Would you show your kids this, if you had kids or if you had nieces, nephews, or whoever, a younger, you know, person around, would you show them this one or the 2000 version or the original?
Original for sure.
Original would be the first choice. Mm-hmm. Then this one, then Jim Carrey. I would wait till they were older for Jim Carrey.
I think I would do the same.
Yeah. Just because this song alone is so funny in the original. I love that song in the original.
Mm-hmm. It's a funny story about choosing this movie, too, is I woke up this morning thinking I could just rent it from iTunes, and it's not available to rent until December 5th. So what? Now I own the movie. Yeah, I don't get it either. And now I own the movie because I'm like, well, I got to watch it, or I can't not do it and not have anything to talk about. So I now own the movie.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Now you can share it with whomever you want. All right, let's rate it. Let's start with you, Alex. What did you give this?
3 stars.
All right, 3 out of 5. Rachel?
3 out of 5,
I give it a 2.5. It's right in the middle for me.
Okay. All right. I would also give this a 3 stars. I felt like it was definitely watchable. And though not my favorite movie and not something that I would come back to, as in I can't wait to watch that come Christmas time, it's definitely one that if I'm going to have a marathon of Christmas movies going on in the background, yeah, throw that in there. So that's kind of how I view this.
Mm-hmm. Is this one on, because we don't get it in Canada, is this one on the Universal streaming service?
This is on Netflix. Is how I watched it
on Netflix.
Yeah, we don't have it up here.
Yeah, so Netflix, the countries. So if you are in a different country, Netflix or Prime or, you know, these different services, they have different deals with these companies. So in some areas you can, some you can't.
Is that you, Santa Claus?
Guys, thank you so much for coming on here. We are so glad to, you know, the Rotoscopers, we really appreciate all that you guys do for us. Rachel as a writer and also a patron, and also Alex as our Diamond 11 level patron. Thank you so much for everything that you guys have done, because honestly, we wouldn't still be doing this 8 years later without all the help that we've gotten from you guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Funny you say 8 years, but I'm still behind on listening to all the shows. I'm right now at Fantasia, which is like 2 years. Like,
you still got some room there.
Yeah.
All right, Rachel, where can everybody find you?
Yes, you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And also for all of my holiday coverage, follow the Hallmarkies podcast. And we have more than just Hallmark. We cover everything Christmas during this time of the year. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. And if you are a patron, I'm going to add our little 15-minute conversation about all of her favorite Christmas movies this year. I was really begging her to tell me what I should watch as far as Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies, because that's my jam. So if you would like that information, go become a patron as well. You'll be able to get ad-free episodes as well as that extra content. So
yay, Merry Christmas.
Alex, you have also started doing reviews. What's going on with you?
So with COVID boredom, I started a YouTube channel called Disney Movie Investigations, where I am taking the Disney movies on Disney Plus alphabetically. Ooh. And reviewing each of them, just giving kind of a background of what they are, how they got made, like what interesting stories, as well as what, like if they have any presence in the theme parks or different merchandising, stuff like that. And then occasionally I will do a different Disney bonus story where we talk about something about the parks or just a different kind of something in the Disney universe.
Awesome.
You can find that on the YouTube. It's if you search for Disney Movie Investigations, it'll pop right up.
Perfect. And I am a musician and I write custom songs for people who want to have a gift for somebody. And if you are looking for a gift for somebody this holiday season, or even for Valentine's Day coming up, I do a lot of those. I even wrote one for a friend song for Alex too.
Yeah, it was really good. She moved her to tears. It was a funny story about that, because her cat ran away a week before I gave her the song.
Aww. And
she said it was something that she really needed. So it was definitely a plus. I've been meaning to write a review, and I will get to that, Chelsea.
Oh, perfect.
It really meant a lot to her. So thank you so much. It was a beautiful song.
Thank you. So glad. So yeah, check me out. You can go to songsbychelsea.com or just chelsearobson.com. They'll take you to the same place. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us once again. If you would like to have more information, let us know. Go to the show notes. This is going to be at rotoscopers.com/195. All right. Until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers. Merry Christmas.
Rachel, have we ever played Catch and Fire with you?
I don't think that you ever have, but that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Maybe it's just I was early on before you did it. I don't know.
Well, someday we will rectify that. Perfect. All right, guys. Sweet. Great. This was a good episode.
Yeah. That was fun. Thanks for having me. Glad it worked out.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rachel.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to run and get some lunch. I'm starving. But thanks, it was nice to meet you, Alex.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Chelsea. I'm
also going to run. I have a massage
appointment. Ooh.
Ooh. Enjoy. Jealousy.
All right, I'll catch you guys later. Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag Animation Addicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com